it's not in my interest or anybody else's interest to have me continue in the job if I were not capable of performing it, and so I'll follow my doctor's advice in that regard. But they've assured me there's no reason why this procedure or the device itself should in any way inhibit my ability to continue to perform as vice president.
Vice President Dick Cheney speaking at a surprise White House briefing yesterday, announcing that he expects doctors to implant in him what Mr. Cheney terms a pacemaker plus, doctors to prefer to call it an implantable defibrillator. Daniel Schorr joins us. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And with respect, is the vice president, near as we can tell, downplaying something that might be at least a bit more serious?
Well, it depends what serious is. The doctors say that it's a procedure entirely precautionary, has nothing to do with the two angioplasties that he had to widen his clogging arteries. But, you know, Scott, politics is a matter of perception. Serious is what serious seems. Mm-hmm. Cheney, in the past 25 years, had 4 heart attacks, quadruple bypass operation, 2 angioplasties. The concern about him is obviously the greater because of his widely advertised vital role in helping to manage the government. His health is a matter of great concern inside and outside the White House. So you ask, is it serious? In medical terms, I have no idea. In political terms, very serious.
Let me ask about the amount of attention being awarded this story, and for that matter, ours. I mean, obviously, Don Gagne, our man who covers the White House, has to be there, but you see the whole panoply of trucks and heart surgeons and, of course, cardiac experts are being paraded before the news media. Cardiac implants are becoming fairly common, heart disease even more so. Are we perhaps exaggerating the significance of today's procedure?
Well, I don't know. Who is the big editor who decides what should be in proportion? You know, the New York Times leads this morning with a Cheney story. The Washington Post this morning leads with the Senate passage of the patient's right bill. Mm-hmm. They don't teach you in journalism school about implantable cardioverter defibrillators. What they do teach you, however, to be skeptical when a politician said this is no big deal. Mm-hmm. So we, using the generic we for all of us in the media, so on, it's a big story because the public thinks it's a big story. I know that, as far as I'm concerned, in the past 24 hours, almost everyone I've talked to anywhere has asked me about the Cheney story and what is with Cheney. So yeah, it's got to be a big story.
A big story. Senate last night passed their version of a patient's bill of rights. What do you think the legislation is going to look like after the House and Senate meet?
Well, first of all, let it not go unnoted that the Senate passage of this bill is a big victory for that new Senate majority on its first big outing. So now you can score 1 on major legislation for Bush, the big tax cut, which he got. Mm-hmm. The education bill is sort of a wash, a draw, because it was bipartisan, and now a big Democratic victory on this bill. Very good chance that the House, which actually passed a bill much like this one 2 years ago, will pass a bill that can be reconciled with the Senate, and that the completed bill is likely to go to President Bush before the August recess.
The president's threatened to veto various proposals on this order for some time. Mm-hmm. With the legislation set to reach his desk in some good order, mm-hmm. Do you think his pledge to veto should be seems to be as imminent as once it did?
Well, the polls show very strong support in the public for patients' rights. What matters to people more than the issue of law now, which is so consumed the Congress, a matter of whether you can have lawsuits or not have lawsuits, most people are much more basically involved with whether they're able to go to the nearest emergency room, which is in this bill. Mm-hmm. And they don't follow the politics of this at all, but they do like what they hear about it. There is a political cost to vetoing a popular bill. Our president has already shown certain talent for flip-flopping when he thinks he wants to flip-flop, and so he may well decide that this bill indeed matches his terms and that he might then do it. Isn't it interesting, the irony, the coincidence? Now, here we are discussing patients' Bill of Rights and what minimal rights patients should have with their HMOs and all of that on a day when our vice president is getting this exquisite medical care mm-hmm. Paid for by Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Good investment, right, if someone needs it?
Oh, listen, of course. But lots of good investments around our country.
Yeah. The Supreme Court of the United States wrapped up its latest term this week. We want to talk about that. They had action decisions on property development, the incarceration of immigrants, federal limits on spending political parties, by political parties. They said there could be some limits, and what seems to be a victory for tobacco companies.
Yes, and let us not forget, first of all, that as we say goodbye to this session of the Supreme Court, that this was the one which will be remembered, I think, forever as the court that gave us President Bush. And some very interesting things, like, for example, ruling in favor of privacy against heat-sensing devices looking for marijuana, or supporting the right of religious groups to use their classrooms after the schools have closed. Mm-hmm. Tobacco, you ask about, I think tobacco won one and lost one at the session. That is to say, they won when the Supreme Court said that a state cannot keep tobacco advertising away from the vicinity of schools. But then the Supreme Court refused to review a $1 million judgment against a cigarette company by a man in Florida who had lost a lung. And also let it be noted that the session ended in the end with no member announcing retirement.
Yeah, against some predictions that were made. Listen, the Yugoslav government sent Slobodan Milosevic to justice in The Hague
yes.
this week. Surprising that it happened this week?
Well, no, in some ways, it was a big surprise that in retrospect, you will figure that it was not a surprise at all, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you why. The Serbian official said that the sudden extradition was decided during a 15-minute meeting of Serbian leaders, which was not attended by President Koštunica. Mm-hmm. Why this sudden 15-minute meeting and making this drastic big decision without even going through any formalities? Well, around the same time, there was a conference going on in Brussels, a conference of donors deciding how much money countries like Yugoslavia mm-hmm. should get. Within a few hours after the extradition, this Brussels conference voted $1.25 billion for Yugoslav reconstruction. So there's been a great deal of protest in Yugoslavia, yeah. a lot of which you can understand. It is, if they're so badly off that they have to sell their constitution for $1 billion or so, nobody would like to have that happen. So some of that can understand. So the protests have been so great that the government has now collapsed and Yugoslavia may face a new election.
Let me ask you about events in the Middle East persisting this week. The Secretary of State, Colin Powell, made a three-day visit to the Middle East this week. There has been a growing list of Bush administration envoys. Can you chart any success so far?
Well, it depends what you call success. He did have what you might call a small success because he got both sides, Israelis and Palestinians, to agree to the idea of a seven-day period without any kind of hostilities at all. That would lead to a six-week cooling-off period and then maybe some time to peace talks. But there was just enough violence yesterday to keep the clock from starting on this. And so he got this thing. Whether it will work in practice, whether you can really have a week without any violence in Israel, is something which we have not seen for a long time.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, what do you make of what seems to be the shift in the U.S. government's willingness to stake its reputation in foreign policy on this issue?
I think the president found out what every president before him has found out. You can say you want to keep hands off, and then in the end you can't. The whole region is too great. Strategic and economic importance to this country. We can't let that go down the tube. And so in the end, the president has had to do what you could predict he would have to do, get America involved in this.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.